The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Morning, folks, and welcome in. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Matt Brown, who's filling in for Gil Alexander. He'll be back, I think, on Monday. I know I'm not going to be here, so I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. Kelly Bidlin is here in his usual spot. We have a good and fun show on tap today. Kelly, I'm not going to lie, woke up at about 3:45 this morning. I was jazzed. My heart was pumping. It wasn't because of the probably energy drink that'll kill me at some point in my life. It was because U.S. Open is here, and I got to tell you, I'm ready to go, buddy, huh?
Well, let's go. Did you wake up thinking it was on the East Coast? That wouldn't have been
I did, actually. I totally forgot. Now, usually I wake up at like 4 anyway.
Yeah, you're up early.
Yeah, so like it wasn't like too crazy. So then I'm running through, and it's exactly what you said, because like a couple of the golfers that I have don't tee off until like 2:15, and I was like, man. So West Coast is cool for everything, I would say, except for golf. I want this thing started pretty early in the morning.
Yeah, I think it's different because we enjoy like the early afternoon baseball and golf right out here. Yeah, if you're on the East Coast, you get to look at this as like primetime golf.
Right.
Like, that's cool. You never get to see that. Like, I get it. So, yeah, I get it both ways. It's just a little different. You got to adjust the times, man.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. So first groups are going out here pretty early. That is on Peacock. This is my favorite thing about golf, is trying to track down where I can actually watch this stuff. I liken it. Look, I get it. It's a long tournament. I feel like your majors, you should be like dusk to dawn. Let's get this thing on TV.
Well, I think there's even more. Look, I think the digital strategies and app strategies is one conversation. With the one I don't really get, especially when it comes to NBC, is because we are on Peacock, I believe, for the first 4 hours today. I'm trying to pull this up right now. First 4 hours today, and then we go over to USA. Not, you know, the classic golf channel that everybody knows and loves, USA.
Okay.
Not the actual golf channel, which is owned by NBC.
I'm sure they're playing like Tin Cup or something like that. Right?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. More likely, it's probably like an LPGA event or a Corn Ferry event or something like that. But yeah, that's the one I really never understand.
Yeah. All right. So when we talked the other day, when I was here on Tuesday, I gave you about three golfers that I wanted you to pick apart, destroy. We did so. So I went, you know what, I'm in. I'm going to be here, of course, today and tomorrow, the weekend. I got the show, too. So I went a little ham, and I want you to tell me what we're looking at here and if you like my portfolio or not, Kelly, because I am very insecure, and although I can't change any of these, I am ready to roll, and I feel like I'm pretty confident in the way that this thing's going to go in terms of what I'm looking at for my golfing portfolio. So, anyway, they all stay the same, regardless, you know, the three guys that we had. I did add some matchups, and I added some golfers as well. So, Victor Hovland at 18-1. Max Homa at 22-1. Tommy Fleetwood at 55-1. Added two guys we think we talked about the other day. Hideki Matsuyama at 57-1. Siwoo Kim at 70-1. One matchup, Hideki Matsuyama over Ricky Fowler at -108. And then three top 20s. Max Homa, I feel like I don't want to miss out on it with Homa.
Yeah,
if that's going to happen.
You
know?
That's fine. No, I hear you. I'm going to be upset if he wins it because I don't have any money down on
right,
it.
Yeah. You know? So we have Max Homa top 20, Siwoo Kim top 20, and Bryson DeChambeau top 20. What do we think?
There's kind of this golfer better relationship, you know what I mean, where if you've sunk a lot of money into a guy over time, he kind of owes you, right?
Correct.
Max Homa's at that point where he's paid me off a couple times already, so I almost feel like it's disrespectful for me not to have a ticket on him. Like, I kind of owe that to him.
Yep.
But, no, I don't. Okay, so I'm going to start with yours. Hovland, love it.
Yep.
I'm on him as well. Max Homa, I like it. I'm going to go love it, like it, don't
Leave
like it.
It,
hate it. Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
Homa, I like it. I would love it at a longer number.
Oh, boy, I'm ready for this one.
Tommy Fleetwood, I hate it.
Hate it? I thought you were going to just say you don't like it. He's a great form.
No, I hate it. I hate it.
Revenge tour after losing to the Canadian.
As an outright bet, I hate it. I think at top 20, that could be a good bet. Hideki Matsuyama, at that kind of number, love it. I didn't bet him outright, but I do like him this week. I have several bets with him. Siwoo Kim, long shot, baby. Love it. I don't like your number on it, but I love it, man.
Okay.
I think I have 90 on him or 100 or something like that. Love it. Top 20, Homa, love it. Siwoo, love it. Bet it. Bryson, hate it.
Why do we hate Bryson?
I don't really get the – I don't know if – you know what? I'm going to say I don't like it. Okay. Not that I don't hate it. There's been this divided – there's been a big divide, I feel like, this week in the golf community over Bryson DeChambeau.
Because I hear long – like, right? I'm like, one of the things that you keep being told is, like, you want guys that are somewhat long off the tee? I mean, yep. Last time I checked, protein-riddled Bryson DeChambeau is ready to go. Like, I think that's – come on.
He's looking slim. I saw yesterday he hit, like, a – like ridiculous amount of balls at the range, like compared to everybody else, it was something absurd. Anyways, though, yes, he's going to be long off the tee. The problem is, can he keep it straight? If he's got to keep it straight, keep it in the fairways. If he goes wide here, he's going to be in trouble. Yep. Question always with Bryson DeChambeau is his around the green play going to be good enough? So if he gets stuck in these bunkers or in the long rough that's around a lot of these greens, how's he going to do then? I don't hate it simply because Bryson DeChambeau is one of those guys, like so many guys on the LIV Tour, that are not named Brooks Koepka that I haven't been able to see enough yet. We don't have the stats to track them, really, of how they've done over the past basically year outside of these majors, right? So you're really trying – I think there's a lot of people that are looking too much into what some of these guys have done at recent majors. I think Mito Pereira is a good example of that, too.
Yeah, he came up a lot in, like, a lot of the stuff that I've read.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. When we've seen him, he's looked great. Right. For me, personally, I like a larger sample size, though, than what we've actually getting statistically tracking-wise.
So you bring up a good point. I didn't even think about this. So I'm assuming, like, strokes gained, tee to green, all those kind of stats and numbers, those aren't available for LIV Tour guys, huh?
Don't exist on the LIV Tour. Yep. Those are PGA Tour stats. They do not exist on the LIV Tour.
Man, you'd think that, I guess they're merging, so it doesn't really matter. But you would think that that's something that they would at least put up there. But my thing with DeChambeau, too, which is why I put him top 20 instead of outright, I feel like he's a guy who fits the course. Everything you read in terms of what this course needs, I feel like he's got it, especially off of the tee. But don't want to bank on him to go outright. So I felt like top 20 was a safe way to kind of back him without, of course, expecting a whole lot of him.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how he does because it really does feel like he's a guy that I know Matt Brown's heavily against him this week. He talked about it yesterday on the show, but I know a lot of guys who are on Bryson outright and even more this week.
All right, what do you got? What are we riding in with?
The final card. Should we start with first round leaders?
Let's go. This is great. Let's see the entirety of the Kelly card.
That's
huh?
right. Here this we is go. The entirety of my card. Right. Yes. Pat, actually, we're missing one bet. I did add Eric Cole to make the cut. That's like minus 150. That's the only thing missing. Otherwise, this is my entire card. So first round leader, I'm going to start right there. If anybody wants to get in on these early today, Patrick Cantlay, 31-1. Victor Hovland, 35-1. And then a couple of the longer shots, Siwoo Kim, 75-1. Wyndham Clark, 82-1. I believe Vic and Siwoo tee off here the next hour.
Let me ask you really quickly. So we talked with Siad Ajad earlier in the week. So do you have the same handicapping process when it comes to first-round leaders?
You asked Siad a great question, basically. How do you figure out how you're betting, who you're betting first-round leader-wise, especially in majors? When you're betting outrights in majors, I'm a believer that you're getting the toughest fields in golf, right? So you need to trust guys that can compete at a high level over the course of 4 days, right? Mm-hmm. When you're talking first-round leaders, and Sia kind of brought it up too, like one of the markets I wish they'd post in Kelly's fictional golf sportsbook world is the any round leader. All you're looking you know what I mean? What you're looking for is one guy to put it together for 18 holes. Now, unfortunately, all we get offered is a first round. Like any round leader would be kind of cool. Or low round of the tournament or whatever. But first-round leaders, the way I'm looking at are guys that have usually done really well in my statistical modeling, but even more recent form than what I'm looking at more outright-wise, the last 12 rounds, last 16 rounds. Who's really playing well right now, the past few tournaments, right? So I'm looking for those, and I'm looking for the guys that, JVT, maybe I don't think can put it together for four full rounds against the top of the field, right? There's that side of it. I think that's the handicap that a lot of people use for some of the longer shots. And then, yes, I do have some of the tournament shorter shots on here that you're getting better odds on, right? So I'm hoping these guys get off to a much better, a good start for what they're going to do for the rest of the tournament, but I can hit on them early at much longer odds than what they're booked on the outright market.
All right, that's a good point. I like it. All right, what else you got? You got a bunch of tournament head-to-heads too, right?
Yeah, outrights. So these ones, I bet Xander Schauffele, I bet Siwoo Kim. No. The other guys I bet the past few weeks leading up to the tournament, if you're a golf better. It's something I do believe you need to do. Add futures bets along the way for these majors, since these markets are always posted. So I have Cantlay, Hovland, and Hatton at good numbers. Hatton, I would still bet. I'm a believer in Hatton this week.
Okay.
So I've got those outrights. Not a ton invested there, John. What I'm going to look to do is hopefully get in live on Scheffler or Rahm at some point in this tournament. I think those two are far and above everybody else pretty much in this tournament. Maybe Brooks you could throw in there too. But those two I'll be looking to get in live, hopefully. But I do have top 20s on Cantlay, Schauffele, Hovland, Hatton, Justin Rose, and Siwoo Kim. Justin Rose, I would say, much like a Tommy Fleetwood, been playing very well recently. Mm-hmm. Great ball striking here recently for him. He's gotten a lot better there. He's always good on the greens. Tournament matchups, Rahm over Rory, minus 120. Hatton over Fitzpatrick. That's one I just feel like the wrong guy's favored there. It should be like Hatton minus, 130.
So I take it you're high on Tyrell Hatton in this tournament.
I am, yes, I am. Hatton minus 130 over Cameron Young. I'm also on a pretty big fade of Cameron Young this week.
Okay.
That's a guy that's been stumbling the past couple months on the PGA Tour. He's great off the tee. Everywhere else is kind of suffering right now. Hideki Lots. Over Cameron Young. Eric Cole over Herbert. And Justin Rose over Jason Day. Those are all of my bets for the
US. All right.
Open.
Let's do it. I thought I was going. All right. I feel, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Vindicated?
Shamed, actually. No, that's what I was going for. No, all right. Well, I have plenty on this, too. Is they, of course, the early tee times are underway, and the outrights are off the board. So we are underway over the U.S. Open. I have to pull up my Peacock. I forgot my password, so I had to do the whole thing where I don't know my password. I got to get that back. Excuse me. Ooh, I inhaled spit. We got plenty left to get to, though. I was going to start choking all over the place. We got a lot left to get to. Of course, we're just getting started here on A Numbers Game. We have a lot of news coming out of the NBA. Wrote an article yesterday about Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard and all the noise around all of these guys. And it sucks to want someone, but they don't want you. And there seems to be a case of that in the association. We'll discuss when we return here on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM is all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you know, love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms. Got to be 21. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. Jonathan Von Tobel filling in today here on A Numbers Game. I'll be here tomorrow as well, as Gil is on vacation. Then, of course, he will be back at the helm starting on Monday. By the way, a couple of days after that, see ya. Me and Kelly both out of here. So not together, but speaking of being together.
Wait, why did you should have just played it up. Where are we going on vacation?
Yeah, I was
going
to say. Yeah, right. Well, speaking of being together, I did. So to take people behind the scenes, you know, I like to be a nice host to send stuff in to include in the rundown. You know, Kelly does a lot of work. I want to help out. I included a bolded statement in my email that I think was ignored that I did not find in the rundown. It was a question for Kelly. The question was, will Kelly join my wife and I, and I think some other VSiN personalities, I think Wes Reynolds is going to be down there. I haven't coordinated with Wes, but I'm going to hit him up.
Okay.
At the VGK parade on Saturday.
No, it sounds miserable.
So here's the thing. It does. But I have a strategy.
Have you been to a championship parade?
No, but listen to my strategy. You ready for my strategy? So the plan is, according to, you know, you look at the map, is they're going to start at one end, like Flamingo, I think it is, and then make their way down over the course of 2 hours to Toshiba Plaza, which is the spot in front of T-Mobile. Okay. Have you ever been? You've been down there, right?
Yep. And now I think I know where you're going with this, and you might be able to sell me, but okay, keep going.
So what my plan is that me and my wife are actually just going to go straight to the beer house, which is right there. Starting right when the parade starts, we're going to go there. Get a table and just hang out for 2 hours. And then when the parade culminates and getting on the stage and they're all drunk and celebrating, they'll just walk up the street and just go down on the edges of the crowd, hang out, see what it's like, and then go home.
All right. I might be down for that.
See, that's
right. I might be down for that.
Miss me with walking through down a parade and no way. No way.
Or do you do it the other way where you do it at the beginning, wait for everybody to leave because then you can exit whatever you want. The only problem with your plan is you're going to get jammed by the end of the parade and how the heck are you getting out of there?
Oh, we're going to park somewhat far away.
Okay.
Strategy is like when I went down the other night, so I actually went down after the game, parked at MGM and then just walked up.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Yep.
Like, you got to go over to Luxor or MGM and get, like, a, you know, get an Uber, get your car from there.
Also, shout out MGM. Might owe you money because the gate was broken and it was just open, so we didn't have to pay for parking. So just to...
Also, while we're doing shout out Caesars Sportsbook for rest of country app upgrade here in Nevada. Wow. I just downloaded that and checked it out. Incredible.
Yeah,
same
I gotta
game
get on
parlays
that.
And live betting options and stuff that we just never have seen before, JVT. It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I could go on and on about Nevada all of a sudden falling behind the pack in a really big way. So when we get stuff like that, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
It's something that I want. Something that Kyrie Irving wants. The Miami Heat. This is going to get dark. Never mind. But Kelly, have you ever wanted somebody and they just didn't want you back? Yeah, we've all been there before. So we get a report yesterday. This is NBA offseason. I think any offseason for any sport that you follow is really good. I mean, baseball, I think, does a pretty bad job because it's not really well publicized. Mm-hmm. Like, when I start getting ready for baseball, all of a sudden I'm like, Bruce Bochy's the manager of the Texas Rangers? When did this happen? So it's not very well publicized. But the NBA offseason's great. So we're already getting all sorts of reports and everything. One has led to one futures bet that I have made. But I just wanted to point out really quickly, the Miami Heat, and this is part of the bigger picture, the Miami Heat, I think, I'm very, very certain in saying, and I wrote about this yesterday. You can find it up on the website, VSiN.com/JVT. I'm really confident that the Heat are going to make changes this offseason.
You know, I am too.
Right. So whatever it is, whether it's Big Fish, Damian Lillard, whether it's Bradley Beal, whether it's I even put in the article yesterday, whether it's even Fred VanVleet, which I think is a good move for them too. They're adding somebody at guard that I think is going to be an impactful scorer, shooter, player for them overall.
And for me, it's one of those guys. It's a major player.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a major addition.
So one
and
of the first
it,
three
it
guys.
Finally happens.
Right.
Yes.
And so. It's funny because Kyrie Irving, who the Mavericks traded a lot for, who was on an expiring contract, this is the risk. We've heard little rumblings from Kyrie here and there. It was the, hey, LeBron, would you come to Dallas? Which was dumb because they have to trade for him if that was the case. Well, now we're hearing rumblings that Kyrie Irving apparently wants to be a member of the Miami Heat. This is from a report. You can find this a lot of places. But actually, I got to talk to Ira Winderman when I filled in on Sharp Money a couple of weeks back. The guy's awesome. But Ira Winderman tweeted out and reported, I do think Kyrie wants to come here, being Miami. I don't think the Heat are going to be subservient to Kyrie's wishes. I will find that much more of a long shot. So Kyrie Irving, some level of interest in joining the Miami Heat. But as you see the report here, the Heat would prefer to go after Damian Lillard or Bradley Beal. So those two names are pretty fascinating. And that was the crux of the article that I wrote yesterday, which was the futures of Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal and how you approach betting those futures. Since we're talking about the Miami Heat, we'll start there. The Heat are one of two teams that have been named to be going after Bradley Beal. It is them. And surprisingly enough, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, which, I saw that today. Yep.
Yep. And now, look, they have salary, and I would think the guy that is on the chopping block, because he's on an expiring deal worth $40 million, so it matches salary, would be one Chris Middleton,
yep.
Who you know is going to take his player option because he's not getting $40.4 million on the open market. So it's going to be really fascinating, and it would be a deal, I would think, surrounded by some draft assets and Chris Middleton, maybe something else, for one Bradley Beal. I think the Miami Heat have a more attractive package to offer. You know, I would think Tyler Hero might be there. And I say might because Bradley Beal's probably actually not worth as much as people think.
Yeah.
I saw some mainstream.
Declined.
Yeah, I saw some mainstream media members talking about throwing in if it was Philly, you got to throw in Tyrese Maxey. If I'm feeling no, I'm not. What are you talking about? We're not doing that.
Not at all. I think the other thing we got to remind people, right, JVT, is NBA and trades. It's all about contracts, yep. Right? The money has to match. The other thing that makes this Bradley Beal situation so special is that he has from a player's perspective, arguably the greatest contract in the history of the NBA, right? There is a no trade clause in it. So he has the right of refusal to any team that he goes to, which means that this is a three-way negotiation,
yep,
between two teams and Bradley Beal.
And you know who, by the way?
Which is going to make this incredibly complicated.
And if you're putting them in order, all I know is that the Washington Wizards are last in terms of leverage.
Right,
because,
exactly.
And so that's what makes it fascinating, because like you said, Beal can cut any deal he wants. No, I don't want to get traded there. And so if you're like Milwaukee, for example, and you're one of the teams, Milwaukee's like, oh cool, well, you don't have any other options, so we'll give you Jordan Nwora and maybe some picks and whatever it is.
I think the one that's interesting with Milwaukee and Miami, I actually think both are realistic. Like, yeah. I think they're realistic landing spots. I hadn't really thought about Milwaukee that way before, but So the pro of Milwaukee is you'd take Middleton, right, and then it's basically a contract dump for the Wizards afterward, right? If you're a rebuild, you get through the year of his contract, get that money off the books. You don't
actually
have that
can I argue? I want to specify. I know the rules. I think you have to wait 6 months after you acquire a player. We'll double check on this.
Yeah, I'm talking more maybe he plays there for a year.
Well, no, what I'm saying is if you're Washington, it's an expiring deal for a guy who could help a contender. I don't know how it would work, but, I mean, would you not flip him, try to flip him at the trade deadline, Chris Middleton?
Yeah, good point, or you could do that.
Yeah, you know, yeah. The specificities of the CBA, there's so many different rules.
Right,
so I'm not
going
to say that is 100% fact, but I feel like that's something you could try to do.
I just think that isn't – don't you see Milwaukee more as it frees up money for the future of Washington, whereas Miami, it's more acquiring younger assets and assets that you actually think you could build on,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. You would think that maybe Tyler Hero would be part of that, but we'll see if that's going to be the case. So, Brett Beal, I would say, I think the favorite, if we're going to talk about him going somewhere, I would think Miami, for me at least, I would make the slight favorite to land him at this point. But it also ties into one Damian Lillard, because as we said, Miami Heat want somebody, and it does seem that Damian Lillard is going to be at the top of that list. However, Brian Windhorst had a report the other day that stated that it seems Damian Lillard and Portland are simpatico. Like, they're going to kind of stick this through. I've been very vocal in saying that I don't think that makes sense. So there's a really good chance that Damian Lillard is off the table when it comes to the offseason approach for a lot of these teams. That includes Philadelphia, who is said to be in the mix. You see the teams there. There they are. The Philadelphia 76ers, the Miami Heat. We'll see if other teams start to get involved. You know, the Pelicans we'll talk about momentarily. But right now, and you've seen these odds shift. That dipped below $2, did it not? The Portland Trailblazers price, that was like $1.80 at one point.
Maybe it did. This is the best I've seen it, is minus 200.
Okay.
But, and real quick, just want to circle back real quick to Bradley Beal. If anybody's interested in what that Bucks number is, 40-1 right now.
Is it really?
40, yes.
That's worth it just because of the reports.
I know. And
two teams were named.
Maybe that shifted in the past 2 hours since I looked at it, but it's at 40.
Not even on the graphic. Oh, yep. You got it. Okay, again, I don't know. I would make the Heat the favorite outside of, like, if we're talking teams, not the Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
But they got to be the second choice behind Miami. Only two listed.
Just based off the report, I'm with you. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, that's totally worth
it.
So
expect those
there.
To shift. If you're interested in getting involved, get involved now.
By the way, good usage on the graphic there. Classic Wizards unis. Love them. Absolutely love them. All right, so we'll talk. Damian Lillard we have to expand on because it does seem that Damian Lillard is going to stick around for Portland. It also, this is why I like the timing of things. If you look at the timing of things, there's reasons why these things happen. We get the report from Shams Charania that New Orleans Pelicans are looking to move up to 2 or 3 to get Scoot Henderson. On the heels of a report that says Damian Lillard's sticking around. We'll talk about what that means, but I got to tell you, I think there's some pretty clear signs that something could happen here. It's something we talked about on the podcast the other day, and it led me to bet the Portland Trailblazers to win the NBA Finals at 125-1. We'll discuss when we come back here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's your last chance, folks. Come on. We've been telling you about this for a really long time. Sign up now to get everything we have to offer for all those VSiN pros out there. Get daily best bets for every single sport. Exclusive betting splits data from DraftKings. And a glance at our VSiN Experts Leaderboard. Plus a lot of different stuff. You know, one of the things I don't think that we talk about enough on the website that we really have that's awesome is our player prop index. Like, you can go through, you can see what guys have been in terms of, like, you know, their points props. Of course, this is, you know, for basketball. How they've been in their last set. Like, it's been awesome. It's a really good thing to use and track. A lot of different tools up there other than the things we've been talking about. So check it out now. VSiN.com/subscribe if you're not a subscriber. And if you are and you just didn't know, check out the stuff that we have, man. A lot of cool stuff in the tools drop-down box. All right, Kelly, I give you the floor because I'm signing up for Peacock right now, okay?
There you go. Well, I think, first of all, we just discovered during the break that we both share the same Peacock avatar because I believe they give you about 4 choices. So please tweet in to the show. We want to know what avatar did you go with for your Peacock profile selection because JVT and I both have Vin Diesel.
Yep, it's all about family.
You're kind of embarrassed about it. I'm not at all because I'm the big Fast and the Furious super fan over here.
Have you seen?
I haven't seen that. Okay. I say that, but I haven't seen 10 or what are we on to? 11 now?
Oh, 10? This is 10.
10? Haven't seen 9 then. I haven't seen 9 yet.
Okay. I was going to say, you're supposed to be a super fan, and even I know where we're at.
Come on, man.
All right, I signed up. I'm in.
We're going down. It's going downhill a bit.
Whoa, I think it's at a zenith, if you will. That's an old TV brand, right?
Yeah.
Zenith.
Yeah.
Remember that? The Lightning
and
Z?
Radios.
Yeah,
too.
That's a good point. Radio Shack. I don't know. Just yelling random terms now at this point. All right, so I'm signed up. I'm watching. Let's go. U.S. Open is underway. Can't wait to cancel my Peacock subscription for the next couple of days. But still, be watching this. $4.99. Not bad. So I made a bet, Kelly. I want to be clear, too, because we talk a lot about, like, betting futures this early on. Again, like a full calendar year before this thing's going to be decided. I think that if you're going to do it, it's on bets like this. This is a gamble. I think it's pretty certain, right? I'm not like breaking my bankroll to get this, but it's 125-1 long shot, and I'm trying to get ahead of information, which is that the Portland Trailblazers are not only going to keep Damian Lillard, but you and I discussed something on the podcast the other day. I threw out as a thought. Because you know me, I even said it was part of that conversation. I don't think they should do this, but if they were going to, and we get the reports that the Pelicans are looking to draft Scoot Henderson and move into the top three, and all indications are that the Charlotte Hornets are going to draft Brandon Miller with the second overall pick, why would you, if you're Portland, not consider the fact, hey, let's trade Zion Williamson, get the third overall pick, and get Scoot Henderson? You'd still have an extremely talented team. You'd have a top-tier prospect to build on again. Is he Zion Williamson? Who knows? He could be. In terms of just how good he is and impactful he is. But it all fits together, and it's a team that could be pretty good. And on the flip side, the Portland Trailblazers get the running mate for Damian Lillard. It's a risk, but the upside is you get Zion freaking Williamson to play with Damian Lillard for the lifetime of his contract there in Portland.
It's a tough call. For me personally, I like it more from a Blazers standpoint. You did throw this out to me on the pod. I think I had my instant reaction was just kind of without thinking much through of it, of just shock of that the Pelicans are willing to cut bait on Zion Williamson.
I want credit for this.
Yeah, you did bring it up. I hadn't heard it anywhere else before you brought it up.
It's now part of the discourse.
That's right. I mean, it's everywhere, yesterday and today. Look, I think here's the... there's a lot of things we can't answer about Zion, right? Are there really concerns internally about his work ethic, his shape, these injuries? Like, I think we all know there's at least a little bit of those concerns, but if they're major concerns for the Pelicans, then yeah, I think you try to move the guy and you try to get, as much back as you can for him. But are other teams, including Portland, also going to look at it that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm going to trade for a guy that he's 22 years old. When he's been on the court, he's been incredibly effective. Over 25 points per game over the past 4 seasons, he's been incredibly effective. Why are you trying to get rid of this guy? I think there's going to be big questions about that.
But you know what every team does? It's like in romance. I can fix them, right? Yep. I can make them better.
Yep.
If they come with us, then our system can change things, right? Our staff is better. Our staff can make sure he's healthy. Our staff can do this. I think every team thinks that, essentially, right? I mean, you have to. You have some confidence in the system that you've built, and I think that's the thought. Because I saw a lot of kind of what you're not alluding to, a lot of shock, but I did see a lot of, the Pelicans would be idiots if they thought this. Like, why? Why? He hasn't been consistently available. We have these questions about, whether it's work ethic, whether it's, just health overall, whatever it is. To act like Zion's coming out every year, playing 65-plus games, dominating and leading the Pelicans to the postseason, there's a reason why this conversation is being had. And it's not like you're trading him for run-of-the-mill whatever. You're trading him for a top-three pick. And a guy who was widely considered, up to 2 months ago, to be the lock second-best prospect in this draft in Scoot Henderson, who could be a franchise player in his own right for the next 15 years for the New Orleans Pelicans.
I think the other thing for someone like me, and it's the person you're talking about, you have to keep in mind is the massive contract that Zion Williamson just signed.
Yep.
And he's going to be entering into, the second year of it? First year
it's
of,
pretty
the,
early,
of
yeah.
the new extension of a 5-year deal? It's a 5-year, $194 million contract that he signed with the New Orleans Pelicans. So, you are... Again, if you're a team that's going to take Zion Williamson, guess what? You get the baggage of that contract that comes along with it. So, I think it's interesting. I think in the end, this is a lot of smoke and not much fire behind it from the New Orleans Pelicans, because I think we've also heard, that they're floating other names too, right on the trading block, and it's, well, I think they're just seeing if anybody's going to bite. Could they maybe get up to two? Could they maybe get up to three? I do think that they're lucky, though, that the Blazers are there with number three, where this could potentially work out for both sides.
It would be very sad if Zion got shipped off to Charlotte, although that would be a ton of fun. Zion Williamson running the floor with LaMelo Ball, like, they would be terrible, but it would be great.
I would hate it for our draft bets, buddy. I would hate it for our draft bets.
That's very true. That's very true. And that's the other thing. So that's the other part about this is it does lead into the NBA draft. Scoot Henderson is the odds-on favorite to go third overall. If that trade's made, whatever price it is, like, because that's what they're there for. That's what they're doing. They're going up to get Scoot Henderson. And so that is going to be the bet to make. Again, all indications are, I say indications because we don't know anything, all indications were that Paolo Banchero was the third best prospect last year, and he ended up being the first. So when you look at it, it does seem that Henderson is locked into number three and that Miller is going to go number two to the Charlotte Hornets. There's been literally no, we'll use this pun unintentionally, buzz about the Hornets going to get Scoot Henderson at all.
He really hasn't been. Really hasn't.
So,
or let me rephrase. They've been extremely quiet, period. Right?
Yeah, the only thing you've heard about Charlotte is just Miller stuff, and that's it. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe they're pulling the wool over everybody's eyes, and they're going to go and draft Scoot Henderson because they feel like they want a backcourt duo of him and LaMelo Ball, and it's going to be absolutely brilliant. So who knows? But I think it's going to be pretty fascinating to watch. But it did lead me to making that bet at 125-1. I feel like I'll go back to really quickly, like 3 or 4 years ago. It was the summer that Mike Conley went to the Utah Jazz. But like every podcast I had listened to, every bit of information was like, Mike Conley's going to be available, and the Jazz are kind of interested. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, let's bet like 45-1 on the Jazz to win the NBA Finals. Let's see what happens. Sure enough, he goes there, it gets to like 20-1. They didn't win the Finals that year, but it's just a speculative bet that's kind of worth making. And I think at this point of the season, these are the bets that you kind of want to make this season, the off season,
the longer shots. Yeah,
because you want to get ahead of information, and we'll see what happens. And I'll be sitting on, like, I don't know. What do you think? Zion goes to Portland 60-1?
Shorter.
50-1?
I think it's 40,
right?
50.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
Like, I'll be on 125-1.
I might even
be
shorter than that. Yeah. I don't know. People are going to react with this. If Zion actually gets traded.
That's a good point.
I like your bet. I might end up on the same thing because I think there's a lot of firepower. That's going to be one of the most fun teams to watch. I mean, are they going to be able to bring back Jeremy Grant though? If they end up acquiring Zion's contract,
I would assume that's probably one of them pieces that moves to match a salary.
I think that would probably happen.
Fire up the trade machine.
Yeah, fire up the trade machine. But the I might be on that with you. I'm getting closer and closer though, JVT. Where I don't know why this number is only -200 on Dame to go back to the Portland Trailblazers.
Right.
Because it is, like, we know a lot of people, including yourself. I know a lot of smart guys who have made a lot of cases, and it's not just been this year, it's been the past few years of, hey, get Dame out of Portland. This guy deserves to win a championship. Like, let's see him on a good team. Everything we're hearing out of Portland and Damian Lillard is they love each other and want to work together to build a championship team there in Portland. And basically that narrative hasn't changed much, right? Like, yes, Dame made it clear that he wanted some significant help. That's why I think you're going to see that happen one way or another here this offseason. But I think he's staying, man. And I think -200 is not short enough. I think this should be -500 or something right now with how we're hearing about Damian Lillard.
So I don't know if this is updated for, I got to check this out for next season. Yeah. So, okay. Because right now the trade machine is using salaries from this last year. So like Nurkic would be a salary match for Zion Williamson, but next year is $35 million. So you'd have to ship off a little bit more, but either way, let's go. I'm a Trailblazers fan now. 125-1. I don't think they should do it. I think they should trade him. But guess what? I'll take 125-1. All right, we have plenty left to get to here on the program. Coming up in 15 minutes, Tim Murray, co-host of VSiN Primetime, host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, going to be with us. Had a great episode breaking down the Big 12. Yeah, we're getting closer and closer. Oh, man, it's already 7:45. Holy smokes, this is going by quick. Tim's going to join us next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a same-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game. If all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back and bonus bets up to $25. Only at BetMGM, the best place to bet on baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for T's and C's, as they say. 21 and older. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, 1-800-GAMBLER is the number. Not available in D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Got distracted. My boy, Tommy Fleetwood, on the course. Tee shot. Kelly, bunker. But it's a nice wide bunker with a nice lay. So you know what? I'm not stressed out at all, my guy. The
also,
only guy you said you hated.
Long way to go.
Well, as they say, you can't win the tournament on the first day, but you can definitely lose it.
Yes, you can.
Right. Hopefully Tommy's not like that. All right, let's welcome in our next guest. How about this? Co-host of VSiN Primetime, host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, Tim Murray. You can follow him on Twitter at @1TimMurray. Tim, good to talk to you. I was listening yesterday and today at the Big 12 preview you had up for the College Football Betting Podcast. I want to start with the topic that you opened up with on your podcast, Texas. We really doing this again, huh? We're really doing this again with Texas. So walk us through why is it different? Because, and I'm sorry, the name escapes me, but tell us your guest who you had on. You guys opened this up. You talked about it, and it was funny because I was listening to him rattle off like, "Hey man, you know, you mentioned Phil Steele, all these positions, best position groups in the Big 12, all this stuff," and I'm like, "This all sounds familiar. We've all done this before."
It's so funny, JVT, because Parker Fleming's his name. It's Stats O War on Twitter. He's a really good college football analytically based handicapper, and he kind of breaks down games on a weekly basis when the season rolls around. But it's funny, and I'm glad you picked up on that, because you know I've had some really well-known handicappers, right? Paul Stone, Brad Powers, to name a few, on the show, and we've all kind of settled back in on, you know, I'll paraphrase what both Paul and Brad kind of said collectively, which was, this is Texas, the most disappointing team over the last 15 years. I think they've hit their win total like twice, JVT. And yet they all finish that sentence with, but this year's different. So, you know, it to your point, it does feel like we're doing it again. We're back to, hey, you know, as I put on my tweet today, you know, as Joe Tessitore so famously said, Texas is back, folks, when they beat a crappy Notre Dame team to open up the 2016 season. Yep. So look, it feels like they've got the most talent. It doesn't feel like they do have the most talent. Can they all put it together? You know, week two, they're going to be on the biggest stage, right? Prime time in Tuscaloosa. The discussion we'll have again, like we did last year, JVT. Hey, if Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt, you know, does Texas win that game? Yeah, they probably do. You know, they needed some magic from Bryce Young. A couple calls went their way, but then they lost other games, you know? So look, Texas, is the best team in this conference. You know, they showed it, you know, pummeling Oklahoma 49-0, in the Red River Shootout last year, plus money to win the conference. You know, and I thought Parker had an interesting look at it. He said, he would rather go plus 120, which is available at DraftKings, for them to win the conference, JVT, as opposed to over 9.5, because let's be honest, Texas going over their win total has not been a profitable endeavor for a long, long time. And oh, by the way, if you're wondering at home, the last time Texas, one of the most biggest brands in all of college football, the last time they won the Big 12, 2009.
Yeah. Been a long time. That was the year I graduated high school, so it's been a while. So, all right, Texas at the top. Let's zoom out real quick and look at the conference as a whole. Last year was a conference that I called it like scrunched together, right? There was just a bunch of teams that were on the same level with one another. Hell, even TCU getting by the skin of their teeth multiple times, quarterback injury, you know the story. Is it the same story this year? Is this conference just kind of crunched together? Because you look at some of the numbers, there's a line of demarcation between the top three, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas State. Then you get to Texas Tech at 12-1 after Kansas State at plus 450. These odds are over at DraftKings. What are we looking at in the conference as a whole? Is it going to mirror what we saw last year in the Big 12, or is there separation at the top?
I think there's a little bit of separation at the top, JVT, because I truly, and you look at some of the win totals from, you know, the so-called cellar dwellers, right? Kansas is no longer a cellar dweller. And we actually talked about Kansas we can get to them momentarily. But, you know, basically everybody is around 4.5 wins on the bottom, right? So nobody is expected to full-on stink in this conference because Kansas has gotten a lot better, made a bowl game last year. But you look at TCU. I mean, what do we expect from TCU this year? They made the magical run to the championship game last year. They did lose the conference championship game to Kansas State, but it was a team that has, I think, three starters returning on the offensive side. They lose Quentin Johnston. They lose Max Duggan. They lose, you know, their top two running backs. So TCU is kind of a big shrug of the shoulders, right? They went to the portal. They got a couple Alabama guys coming in. Chandler Morris won the job outright out of camp. So last year, that is. So, you know, TCU, I think a drop off from them should be expected. You know, I think we talked about this a little bit. A buy low candidate could be a team like Baylor. You know, Baylor, who has kind of had this roller coaster ride even since, you know, Matt Rhule took over that program, JVT, where it's great and then it drops and it's great and it drops. You know, I'm a Dave Aranda believer, and, you know, Baylor could be an interesting team. Then, you know, bringing it back to the team who's got the second shortest odds, JVT, Oklahoma. Oklahoma was a bit of a disaster last year, right? They go 6-6 in the regular season, lose their bowl game. You know, what do we expect from Brent Venables' squad in year number two? Dylan Gabriel's coming back. Solid quarterback play. So we know they've got that on their side, but you know, this is a team that lost actually a handful of guys to the pros, and they're coming off a 6-6 season. So, you know, Oklahoma's win total sitting at 9.5, but you know, why I'm not racing to play the under is actually their schedule is kind of favorable. They've got a light non-conference. You know, do they easily dispose of SMU? That could be kind of a telling early portion of the season, but yeah, I think, you know, maybe outside of Texas, which once again, as we alluded to, is a risky thing to say, it does feel like this conference is going to be kind of all jumbled together. And then, you know, we've got the new four teams, yep. JVT, what do we do with Houston, BYU, Cincinnati, and UCF, as you know, they make the pretty big leap from the American Athletic Conference to the Big 12.
Yeah, Houston and Cincinnati, they get 5 Big 12 home games each this first season. So what do you make of – I'll ask it this way. Of the four newcomers, who do you think has the most success here this season?
I think it's UCF. I think they've got the most talent on their roster. And I think they're probably – and you know, with that being said, that's why they have the highest win total of all of these teams that are entering the conference. You know, Cincinnati, I kind of think Cincinnati's – headed in the wrong direction. You know, I thought it was, I don't want to say telling, because I would leave Cincinnati to go to Wisconsin as Luke Fickell did. But Luke Fickell was pretty kind of steadfast for a while, JVT. I'm not leaving. I'm staying. You know, this is my spot. I also think he knew he had a really good team for those couple of years and, you know, would make that run to the college football playoff and they could kind of hold things down. I think Luke Fickell saw the writing on the wall. So I think this is a bit of a rebuild, uninspiring hire, in my opinion, as Scott Satterfield, who kind of felt like he was going to get fired at Louisville and then was like, ah, I'm out. I'm going to Cincinnati. So I'm very interested to see Cincinnati. I think they could struggle a little bit down there. Houston's got an intriguing quarterback situation there. So, you know, I'm fascinated by that. By the way, if you thought Keaton Slovis had exhausted his eligibility, right. You'd be wrong. He is the quarterback of BYU this year, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Him, JT Daniels, how they keep like going places. I cannot believe that this is this still happening. The Perry Ellis of college football, except Perry Ellis actually stated this program. All right, we'll get you out of here on this because you do one of these previews. So we're going to do these once a week as you move along. Last week, you had the Big Ten, ESPN's Adam Rittenberg. I'll ask this. Ohio State, this feels like a big year, right? The losing streak to Michigan, CJ Stroud's gone. As successful as this team is, there's kind of pressure on them to kind of do something this year, is there not?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you'd talk about, you know, rich people problems, and that would be Ohio State. I mean, their fan base seems to be a little bit uneasy. They've gotten their clock cleaned by Michigan these last 2 years. Michigan gets to host Ohio State this year. You know, you talk about the cream rising. The Big Ten is exactly that this year. It's three teams, and then it's a massive drop-off. It's Michigan, it's Ohio State, and it's Penn State, and then it's a drop-off. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, Ohio State coming into this year, they've got a quarterback question. You know, Kyle McCord takes over. Is he just going to be a plug-and-play guy in that Ryan Day system? I think that's the biggest question. And, you know, week 4, I think it is. They go to South Bend and play Notre Dame. So we'll know pretty quickly if Kyle McCord is up to the challenge. But the thing about, you know, Ohio State JVT, I do expect their defense to take a step up in year two of that system. And, you know, they've got incredible wide receivers. Marvin Harrison Jr. will be likely the first non-quarterback selected in next year's draft. He's unbelievable.
I'll set a fair number, Tim. Over under 45 total touchdowns for Ty Buckner in Alabama's offense. Huh? What are we thinking?
Under.
Okay.
Under.
Right. Good to talk to you, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
See you, man. Appreciate
at 1 Tim Murray up on Twitter. Again, check out the College Football Betting Podcast. Awesome listen. Those are going to come out once a week as we move through the offseason. We'll come back. We have plenty left to get to in the second hour here on A Numbers Game.